CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody. This is your host, Justin Christensen, and today we've got a fantastic guest. He's a 15-year digital marketing veteran, and actually a veteran in other sense of the word too, as he is a Marine Corps veteran doing a couple tours overseas, so we want to definitely thank him for our service, his service. But his business now is buzzsource.co, and he primarily focuses on helping companies manage and scale their YouTube, Facebook, and Google traffic, and working with some prestigious clients, including some very household names and even some celebrities who are spending more than $30,000 a month on advertising, and some of them are even spending that per day. So we're excited to have him to get his insights on what's happening in the landscape of digital marketing. So Brian Noonan, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Justin. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. Yeah. You and your company are badasses and among the small group of people in our industry that I really respect. So appreciate it.
I appreciate it. And first of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah, appreciate it.
I always make it a point to thank our men and women in uniform, either past, present, or future in a lot of cases. So in 30 seconds, can you just tell us a little bit about you? I mean, I know I gave a little bit of a bio, but you know, what kind of got you into digital marketing and where you're at now?
Sure. I first got into digital marketing in a very basic way back in 1998 after I got out of the Marine Corps for the first time. And I started working with my father in his business, which is textiles. So I was down in the garment center in New York City. And at the time, a lot of companies were moving offshore and the business was kind of declining, not necessarily his in particular, but in general. And I had kind of seen the writing on the wall with the internet at that time, even though it wasn't really being nearly as widely used, obviously. So I decided to teach myself how to build websites and started approaching small businesses to build them an online presence. So having done that for a period of time and getting referred to larger and larger companies, and even ending up working for a couple of software companies in conjunction with what I was doing on my own, got to a point where I realized then that the direct response model was much more successful online in terms of adding to the bottom line for my clients. Mm-hmm. So I could help them more and also charge more for what I'm doing. If you looked at some of the websites I built back in 98, they looked like a kindergartner did it, probably.
Well,
you know, that was the beginning, right?
I've had a few of those too. So
Front Page and Dreamweaver and stuff. Yeah.
I actually wrote an entire course teaching people how to use Front Page.
Oh man, yeah, memories.
Yeah, fun stuff. So, what does a typical week look like for you?
Typical week, I guess, you know, one of the things I've been striving to do as my business grows and scales is to still have a life in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires really strict adherence in, for the most part, to a schedule that is built up around what's important for me to be my best. That goes on first, and then work blocks throughout the day to, you know, work with clients and keep myself at my best so that I can be my best for everybody else. And then, of course, there's the family and all those other things that require our presence and quality time as well. So my biggest challenge, I think, has been the transition from when I was doing everything myself a few years ago to building a team where I can oversee them and work in the, on the strategic end more on the, than the tactical side.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to step away from my business a little bit, not to the detriment of the client, but just so I don't burn out and fade away, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I know that drill, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's the sort of like the I don't know, maybe it's the curse of the entrepreneur or whatever in a way, but once we get a handle on it, things really get better after that.
Yeah. So in terms of marketing, whether it be for your own marketing or for your clients, is there something that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, the what keeps me up at night, honestly, is the possibility of going to bed and waking up and having, if there was a mistake made, having blown $100,000 of stuff. This is funny. So, you know, which is a very real possibility, thank goodness, has never come to pass. But as you know, in this game, we have to be very careful and we have to be good stewards of our clients' ad spend money, and they trust us with a lot of money. So yeah, that's the thing. That's mm-hmm. really the thing. Something that keeps my clients up at night, if they're not on, for instance, not doing paid ads or they're not on multiple platforms, is one of the things that they're using changing an algorithm or a rule, and all of a sudden their lead source is cut off. So I really believe in having some diversification there for them. But yeah, my thing is there's so much being spent on ads right now, and just want to be super careful that it's being used properly, and it has been so far.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no doubt.
So there's been talks that TV and traditional media all are going online soon, and this is a question I like to ask every one of my guests. And what are your thoughts on that topic?
I agree, and you know, we don't even have cable, for instance. We just have Netflix and Amazon Prime and stream everything. Mm-hmm. I really see it going there, both for TV and movies, if it's not there already. However, there will, I believe, always be a place for more traditional media, albeit a much smaller portion of the market. And what we'll often do is integrate campaigns, for instance, you know, online and offline. So a direct mail piece or radio ad or TV ad that drives people to our, you know, to our online sales funnel.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, we use direct mail all the time too, and yeah, just, you know, kind of mix it up.
With UTM codes and everything, you can really, and unique URLs, you can track everything too. So, which is something that a lot of people don't realize, from offline to online.
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of marketing, and if somebody wanted to come and work for you, for example, what kind of marketing and data skills should they bring to the table?
Well, that's interesting. See, our approach is very holistic. And as you well know, if there are four different main moving parts, or, you know, top level parts of bringing in leads online and driving traffic and optimizing that and so forth, if one of them is not working, none of them are going to work. So I like to work with people that may have done something like this, touched all the parts themselves, maybe done it all for themselves before, so that they really understand how their part's going to integrate with everyone else's part. That's the main thing. I just need people that have rolled up their sleeves and gotten their hands dirty, so to speak, in doing this and into the technical parts of it, and be someone who realizes that part is not the only part.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, we really take a holistic approach too. Do you find that people lack any skills when they're trying to get into the marketing game?
Like, for instance, people that work for me,
work for you, or in general. I mean, obviously, you're probably not hiring people that lack the skills that you're looking for.
Yeah,
but
no, I can't afford to do that. But I would say that for the most part, if anything's missing, it is that holistic approach or perspective on it. So they, because in many cases, they've been doing something for a while before I hire them. So they've been building sales funnels, or they've been running ads, or they've been writing copy. So they're doing those things exclusively and being a specialist in that. However, they may not have worked at or designed or built or practiced at the other aspects. So that's part of what I want to make them aware of when they come on board, and that's why I include the whole team in the meetings that we have with the clients and so on and so forth, so that they kind of get cross-trained, I guess would be the best word for it.
That's a good point, is just kind of get them dabbling in a lot of the elements so they understand it, whether they focus on one specific thing or not. In hiring, are you finding, you know, giving the nature of the job market and things like that, are you finding a lot of qualified candidates?
They're, in my experience, they're not easy to find at all. However, I mean, especially at the level that we're working. However, they're out there, and we have a process that we use to kind of weed out people, the wrong people. Mm-hmm. So it's been going pretty well so far.
Awesome. So what are your biggest marketing wins? Thinking on the last year, what are your biggest marketing wins that you can think of?
A lot of them center around lowering cost per lead dramatically for clients, increasing business exponentially by opening up another platform for them. For instance, if they're advertising on Facebook and then we develop Google for them, as a for instance. So there are a lot of wins, in particular, you know, helping clients do multiple millions per month has been a big win this year. And I, you know, prior to this year, did not have clients at that level.
What kind of strategies are you using to help somebody of that size? I'm just looking for, you know, it doesn't have to be obviously a specific tactic to a client or naming names, but what are some of the techniques that you use to help get them there?
Well, for that size client and really any size client, the data is king to me. So we want to make sure that their tracking and analytics are really tight. And we use, for instance, Wicked Reports a lot, and of course Google Analytics, and some different software, types of software like that, to really make sure that we know which ads are leading to which conversions. Do a lot of split testing, like I'm sure you do, with landing pages, sales pages, even the follow-up emails, to be able to track all the way through the process and see where the prospects are falling out, and then focus in on those to optimize them.
Okay. Are there any winning A-B tests that you've ran that really jump out to you?
Well, often it's something really simple. I mean, down to, you know, a headline or something as simple as that. What I've been surprised with as I go along is that simplicity often wins over even more polished design. Some of the best converting landing pages that we've created have just been really kind of simple and plain, and you wouldn't think so, but they work better than the, you know, the beautifully designed, sophisticated ones. Hello?
Yep, sorry.
Oh.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Have you found that in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, what we've found is, I mean, it is. It's often the simplest things, and sometimes the smallest changes can yield the biggest impact.
Yeah.
So we always just say don't overthink it, especially when looking at your marketing. And I kind of go back to the old adage that when I first started direct response copywriting many years ago, they say, well, how long should your sales message be? Well, as long as it needs to be to get your point across. And it's when you try to overcomplicate it that it can be confusing.
Sure.
And
testing is king. You know, we can sit around and have our best information and make our best guesses about what's going to work best. But then the evidence comes from the data, and then you adapt from there and test. So you get it to be really dialed in.
I love that statement, and it's something I've been preaching for years.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, kind of what I something I mentioned in our previous conversation is that I make that very, very clear to my clients, my oncoming, you know, incoming clients or prospects, that this isn't easy, and it's going to take time and investment. Otherwise, everybody would do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants an automated online sales process to get their ideal prospects in front of them, or into their shopping cart. But there's a lot involved. There are a lot of moving parts, and if they're not ready to partner up and work together for, we have a minimum of 3 month engagement, but really it could take longer than that to get it to where they ideally want to be.
Yeah, marketing takes time, and we live in the launch world where everybody wants the million-dollar launch overnight, but they don't see all the stuff that happened previously.
Yeah, you know? there's no silver bullet to this, and it's something. I'm not the rainbows and unicorns guy. I'm more like the. I'd rather tell you everything that I see wrong and fix it for you, and let you know how long it's going to take and how much it's going to take in terms of investment.
And you're a Marine too, so I'm guessing you don't cut to the chase.
Yeah, they get the straight dope from me. if they don't like it, then they're not my client.
Awesome. Well, do you have any? Have you learned, like, think back? What's the biggest lesson you've learned in the last year?
I would say it would probably come back to what we were talking about before in terms of how I want to structure my business. That would be the biggest thing that's kind of at the forefront of my mind, and you know, personal development as far as being present in the moment and not let all the different things going on around me distract me. So learning to focus better and work on something till it's done and then move on to the next thing instead of trying to multitask all the time. So that's on the personal side, but on the client side, my biggest lesson has been really to set expectations as far as time goes, like I was saying, and to make sure that they're willing to commit to the collaboration that's needed, because we want to be able to write in their voice. We want to be able to present their business the way they have the vision of presenting it, and so we have to get to know them a bit, you know, and we have to get to know their whole process. So that if they think that they're just going to hire us and then say go get us leads, that's not going to work. We definitely have a strong degree of collaboration in the beginning, at least, to get things going the right way, and so they're properly represented. And then we have weekly update meetings, as far as you know, progress reports and things like that.
Nice. So I'm an avid reader. I'm not sure if you are, but you mentioned personal development and things like that. But do you have any books? It could be more than one, but do you have any books that you've read recently that really jump out?
Yeah, no doubt. Because being an entrepreneur can be really stressful, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of it's not like you're necessarily getting your paycheck like clockwork, and there's just a lot to it, and so I've had to learn, as many have, to manage my stress and to kind of stay centered and stay focused. So I'm actually rereading The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and I really think that's one of the most profound books that have had the most profound effects on my life in terms of just staying present, and it really helps me to keep aware of how I'm thinking and what I'm buying into in my mind, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. But a couple other books that I'm reading, because I always seem to be reading a few, got James Altucher's new book, Reinventing Yourself, and I'm also reading Start With Why, Simon Sinek. So all those books, especially the Start With Why and The Power of Now, I think are really powerful for anyone in their own business.
Awesome. Yeah. Two of those I've read, one of them I need to. So thanks for that. I'll definitely be
very
picking
cool.
it up.
I've also gotten one last one. I've gotten some of my morning routines fine-tuned with Tim Ferriss's Tools for Titans, which is really like more of a handbook that you can refer to any given aspect between health, wealth, and wisdom, I think. And it's been really good. Tools
awesome.
For Titans.
Yeah, I have not read that one yet.
You don't really necessarily read it all the way through. It's kind of like pick and choose what you're working on at a given time.
Awesome. Do you have any predictions for digital marketing that are going to happen this year? What kind of trends are you seeing?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and from a satellite view, is they're just going to be billions of more people online, so it just becomes that much more important as a platform. Talk to some more brick and mortar type businesses on occasion, and they're just behind the curve, way behind the curve. They really need to be online. So that's one thing. Also, I think that from what I see, you know, the people that aren't getting the results and the ones that are kind of trying to sell the silver bullets and the shiny objects are going to get weeded out, because it doesn't seem sustainable to me. Because it just doesn't produce the results people want, doesn't produce the ROI, because there's just no easy way to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, the silver bullet just doesn't happen.
No. And unfortunately, most of my clients have tried that and spent time and money and lost money from not having the right things in place, you know, trying that first. Because the investment to work with someone like me or you is a lot bigger, but the return on the investment is also a lot bigger.
Yeah, you think it's expensive to hire a professional, try hiring an amateur.
Exactly. I like that a lot.
So I have one real final question for you, and if you had one tip for people with their marketing, what would it be?
Work with a professional and don't take information from everyone. Because there's too much noise and there's too many people telling you to do different things. So choose someone carefully, and if it's, for instance, someone like you or I that is working with tends to work with larger clients and they're not at that level, at least pay to consult with us and get a solid plan of action in place. So really loop in an expert as quickly as you can, even if you're not hiring them to do everything, so that you can start out right and don't have to go back and retrofit everything or start all over again.
Awesome. That's a great tip. And in fact, I talked to somebody this weekend that ended up coming on board with us, and he had hired a couple amateur-ish type companies and ended up setting his business way back.
So, sure. It's really bad. Yeah. What we do can make or break a business, and so they have to realize that. And we look at our clients as partners in this, not just we're not just a service provider. We're really an integral part and a partner in what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not just some third party out here.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So I really appreciate you being on the show. How can folks connect with you, or what's the best way to reach you if they want some more information?
My website is really good. I have a chat function on there as well if they want a live chat with me, or they can just opt in, and I have a form to fill out that I can learn more about their business ahead of any further conversation. I'm also pretty much keeping track of Facebook Messenger on a regular basis, so if you're friends with me on Facebook or can message me that way, by all means, that's a good way too.
Awesome. Well, Brian, I really appreciate you being on the show. That's all I've got today. And so, folks, I'll go ahead and put all of the great information, links and books and all of that stuff in the show notes. It was a very pleasure. If you could be so gracious, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like us, rate us, share us, you know, subscribe on iTunes, do all of that fun stuff. We'd greatly appreciate it. Go ahead and check out Brian at buzzsource.co. See what he's up to, because he's up to some amazing things, especially if you need to scale your advertising. So that's all we have for this show. Be sure to check us out on another one. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.